Who is Jesus and who is he to you? Those are two primary questions that the Apostle John addresses in John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 5. As believers, the answers shouldn't be difficult. Nevertheless, we face ongoing challenges from those who genuinely do not know or those who refuse to accept the Word of God. And now, Pastor Seawright walks us through part 2 of our study on the Gospel of John, called John's Introduction of Jesus. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. You know, before we pray, I'm just letting you all know today that we've got things to pray about. Amen. One thing that's on my heart is that we need to go down to Florida by word of prayer with the Morton family. We ask that you pray with them. It's a health crisis that's going on there. Last night, the Seawright Holland family experienced a devastating loss as well. So we're asking you to pray in that regard. We have things to pray for, amen? But we have a God. We serve a God that will always keep your head up. For we look to the hills from which cometh our help. Holy Father, we come before you now. And Father, we thank you for your many blessings. Father, we don't let life ups and downs distract us. Father, we don't allow life events to help us, aid us in losing focus. Father, what it does is it sharpens our focus to you, Father. And we're looking to you right now, Father, for help, for strength, for guidance, and for wisdom. Lord, we ask right now that you continue to be with your people and in the midst of your people. Father, show yourself strong through your word on today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. Excuse me. And on top of that, I got this crazy cold, so. But we're still pushing on. Amen. All right. So, before I get into the sermon, we read our text for the day, and our text for the day is going to be from John, the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5. And like I stated, before we actually read that, let me just do a couple of housekeeping things. One is that we have the bowling event coming up, and I just want you all to know that I ordered a ball that has a built-in remote control. So all I have to do is just put it down and it'll strike for me every time. I'm joking. But the truth is I'm getting ready. And hopefully I can show you all just how good I am. Or how good I used to be. Amen. In addition to that, I understand that we also have a gathering for the young men or men that's going on. I started. I was real close to buying myself a PlayStation 4. I was real close because I was going to try to show these fellas, I was going to come up and just, do this sneak thing on them, buy the PlayStation 4, get real good, and then come over there and wax them. But man, that PlayStation, that thing cost a lot of money, so I got to save for that. Because you buy it, and then you got to buy the games. Man, I'm like, wow. So I'll just come and I'll look at you all beat each other up on that. Amen. And maybe I can give me a PlayStation 2 or 1 to start with. Say, don't do that. Okay, I won't do that. Amen. But anyway, I'll just come and enjoy it and just watch and see what's up. Maybe y'all got a Nintendo or something. I remember playing that. I remember playing that with Jalen. Donkey Kong. Atari. Somebody said Atari. I know, right? But anyway, I'm looking for a good time there as well. And as always, I just got to say this and promote this, that please come out to Tuesday nights. I'm excited about Tuesday night. Please come out to Tuesday night because we are getting down to, getting into the Word. And I tell you, last Tuesday was a blessing. It was an awesome presentation by Bishop Cardinal Woods. But he did a great job in introducing just a portion of John, just to let you see how rich it is. Amen. And it was a good time. It is a great time to have a good time in the Word of God. So we're just asking you all to just please, if you can, come out. And behind the scenes, we're trying to do things for those who may have obligations and can't make it out. We're trying to still get you connected there through these social media avenues. So, like I said, please come out. And always push for Sunday school as well. Sunday school is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. And we ask you all to come out, continue to come out there. That's where you really learn what this walk is all about, what this word is all about as well. Amen? All right, so we are now going to dive into John, the Gospel of John. Let me tell you this, that the portion of Scripture that we are going to cover today is so deep. I thought y'all was going to say, how deep is it? No, but it's so... But it's so deep that folks actually have conducted courses on this portion of Scripture. Just from the first 18 verses of the Gospel of John, folks have developed courses, college courses on it. It's that deep. And you talk about material on John. Man, I tell you, material on the Gospel of John, you can read and read and read for months. That's how deep this passage is. And when I cracked the book, of John, and I said, okay, all right, this is, Lord, help me, guide me as to where we need to go. And then all of a sudden, John came to mind. And then all of a sudden, when I delved into John just a little bit, I said, okay, Lord, are you sure that we want to go here? Because this is so deep. This is so meaty. This is so deep. But yet he said, push on. Amen. So I said today that I was going to cover 18 verses, and I had prepared to do that. And then all of a sudden, it got so deep that only have 5 verses for you today. So the first 5 verses of the Gospel of John, first chapter, reads as follows. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Wow. We just saw a video just moments ago where people were asked by folks who Jesus is. And they had some of the most interesting responses as to who Jesus is. And some were so flippant, and some were so irreverent, if you will, that it's almost mind-blowing when you know who Jesus is to see how others place him so common, so unimportant in their lives that, it, as I stated, it's just mind-blowing. You know, the Apostle John had embraced this task of explaining who Jesus is. And he had this challenge before him. He had two groups of people that were different that he had to explain who Jesus is to. He had the Jewish people who were familiar with the Old Testament and the prophets and the prophecies and things of that nature, and they were familiar as to who Jesus is. But then he also had the Greeks, and the Greeks had their version of who God is. So he had to somehow explain this Jesus to both groups. And just like we saw in the video, folks have their own interpretation as to who Jesus is. You know, this week it was kind of funny because I saw part of an interview with the basketball star Kyrie Irving. And he considers himself somewhat of an intellectual. And so he was on stage, and it was this good size audience and everything. So what he was up there explaining is that the earth is really flat. And he went into why he thought the earth was flat. Now, he believed it. And he was true to his convictions about it, and he tried to explain that the earth was flat. Then I saw another brother who is a well-known rapper. His thing is that we've never gone to the moon. We've never really flown in space. NASA is just a money grab. We've never really done all this stuff that they say we've done. And he believes it, and he goes about it with conviction and passion as well. So you will meet people with the most strange, outlandish views of things and theories and things of that nature. And the interesting thing is that this was not anything new, because John also saw folks with some strange beliefs. One group was called the Gnostics. Now get this. This is what they believed. They believed that the earth and everything that is material wood, all this stuff, and fiberglass. This was evil. And God is spiritual, and he is good. And God would never come down to this evil. In fact, he wouldn't even create this evil world. Even flesh was evil, they said. And he would never come down to this world. So what he did is he sent emanations, minions of himself, if you will. And he kept sending these emanations, or I like to call them aliens or minions. And he kept sending them down until finally they came to earth. Because see, as they came forth through him, and he created them through him, all of a sudden, the closer they got to earth, the worse they became. And finally, when they hit earth, they were evil. And then they go on to say, you know, in fact, we'll go even one step further, the Gnostics said. We'll say that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. So the God of the Old Testament created this world. But the God of the New Testament, he didn't. He wouldn't have anything to do with this world. So how do you deal with all of this craziness? How do you deal with all of these beliefs and these theories that are going on? Well, John said, let me break it down from the beginning. You know, also Paul, my mind goes back to Paul in Acts. The 17th chapter, you know, he arrived at Athens. And when he arrived at Athens, he looked through the city and he saw a statue of a god here. Then he saw a statue of a god there. Then he saw a statue of a god over there. Then he saw a statue of a god. And he kept seeing all these statues that represented gods. They had all types of gods and idols represented there. But then he stumbled on one where it says this statue is to the unknown God. To the unknown God. So in other words, the people said, let's cover the bases. Just in case we missed a God, we're going to put this one to that one. The unknown God. And Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 22 to 23 reads this. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription. To an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, that this I proclaim to you. And he went on and he did a preaching seminar on who this unknown God is. And that's what John was faced with too. John said, let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you who Jesus is. And I'm going to tell you who Jesus is by beginning at the beginning. I'm going to begin at the beginning. He said, Matthew and Luke started at a beginning. And that was called like a genealogy, if you will. Right? A genealogy. Abraham begat a son, and his son begat a son, and his son begat a son. And it goes down to everybody was begatten. Right? So Matthew and Luke started that way. Mark said, I'm just going to start with a statement in the beginning. But see, those three started with this, the beginning of Jesus's ministry here on earth. But John said, let me start from the start. Let me start from the, see, when I'm saying beginning, I'm going back to origin. So let me start with telling you who's the originator, right? Let me tell you from the start, from eternity past. Thank you. Eternity past. He said, let me start from there to tell you who I'm talking about. And he said, who I'm talking about. Let me see. How can I give him a title for you all? Let me see. Okay. Matter of fact, I'm going to give him 7 titles in this first chapter. And the first chapter I'm going to give him, the first title I'm going to give him is Word. I'm going to give him Word. And see, both of you can understand, the Greeks and the Jews can understand Word. Jesus is the Word. See, from the Jewish perspective, they believed that the Word was this. One, that the Word was living, that it does something. The Word does something, right? It does something. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yeah, right. Words, they do something, right? They do things, right? They do things. And here's another thing about words. Words reflect what is going on inside, right? So all of a sudden, when you speak an ill word about someone, you don't speak it like this unless you're trying to hide it in front of your friends. I can't stand her. Look at her. She's so ugly. Now, in truth, what the word does is this. Can't stand her. Ooh, she gets on my nerves. See how it affects your whole being, where you can't stand. Words do something because the pattern of all that dislike is in here. But it goes out here. And they say that words make a sound and then they are gone. But guess what still remains? That pattern. Words do things. And as soon as they are released from this and they go out, guess what? You can't retrieve them. You can't get them back. James cautioned us. In James, the first chapter, in verse 19, he says this. This you know, my beloved brethren. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You know, I really tried to practice this, and I practiced this so much that a funny situation occurred to me when Karen's family was being introduced, when I was being introduced to Karen's family. We were at this bowling event, and I read this, and I studied it, and I was trying to walk in wisdom. And, you know, and every time you ask me something, I'm contemplating, and I'm thinking, because I'm slow to speak, and I'm quick to hear. And I was so slow to speak that they came up to Karen and said, is he okay? I mean, he ain't, you know. And I'm thinking I'm walking in wisdom. But you got to be slow to speak, because what flies out your mouth is hard to bring it back. And words do something, right? Secondly, the Jewish people believed that the word carried power. The word also carried power. Power to create, power to do things. Power. And this can be seen in Genesis, the 27th chapter. There's a few verses, a story, in fact, in Genesis, the 27th chapter, where if you're familiar with it, there were two brothers, right? Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, his name meant trickster, right? And so he was up to a trick. But not only was he up to a trick, but his mama was up to a trick with him. Because, see, what happened is there was a blessing. And Isaac, the father, had a blessing to give. And Jacob wanted that blessing. So Esau was the oldest son. And that blessing was supposed to go to Esau. But Jacob wanted that blessing. And his mama wanted that blessing for him, too. So what happened is Isaac came and called Esau in and said, you know, son, you know, my days are few. I'm blind right now. And I tell you what, I want to give you this blessing. And I'm just paraphrasing. He said, I want to give you this blessing and go out now. And I know you're a good hunter. Go and hunt something real good and cook it like you know I like it. And bring it here, and I'm going to eat it up. And then after I eat, I'm going to bless you. Well, the mama overheard this. And so she went to her favorite son and said to him, Jacob, I just heard what your daddy said to Esau. So Esau is going hunting right now, but I got a plan for you to get the blessing. What I want you to do is this. I want you to go out and get two goats, and I want you to bring them on back. You're going to get this blessing. But Jacob said, whoa, mama, hold up. Because he's going to know that I'm not Esau. He's going to know, because Esau's all hairy, and he's out there. He's a hunter and everything. I'm smooth. I'm all smooth with no hair. And then if he know that I'm trying to trick him, he's going to curse me rather than bless me. And then the mama said, boy, who you think you learn to trick people by? I'm the master of tricking. Bring me the goats and everything, and we got this covered. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to cook it up just like he like it. But the skin of that goat and everything, I'm going to put it on you. And then he's blind. So he ain't going to know. So when he feeling, you know, and I put this goat skin on you and everything else, he's going to say, oh, yeah, this is Esau. So the plan was in effect. And all of a sudden, Jacob go in there with the victuals. And Isaac questioned him a few times and said, are you really Esau? Now come here, let me. Because he was blind. He said, let me feel you. Yeah, okay, yeah, you're hairy. Okay, and this food is good. You did it like I wanted you to do it. Then all of a sudden he said, come here, come closer. Let me smell you. Yeah, you smell like Esau. And then all of a sudden, boom, he gave Jacob the blessing. No sooner than Jacob left, all of a sudden, here comes Esau. And Esau comes in and he done prepared the meal and everything. And he was ready for his blessing. And then Isaac just shook in his boots and said, oh, my goodness. I done gave that blessing to Jacob. I gave it away. And then all of a sudden, Esau started crying, saying, no, can you still, like, bless me? Can you bless me? And we're talking about how the words have power. Because in the 35th verse of that 27th chapter of Genesis, this is what Isaac said to Esau. Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. I don't have that blessing for you. The word of the blessing went out. And I don't have that blessing for you. And when you go on and hear and read the story further, Esau was just praying for, begging for a blessing. But yet he could not get that blessing that went out. The power of words is what the Jewish people also believed in. But the Jewish people had a third aspect about the word. And that was, is that rather than saying God, they always substituted this phrase for God, the word of God. So where we would read God, they were so respectful of God that they didn't want to just talk of him as if he was common. So they would say the word of God. In Exodus, for example, when it said that Moses took the people down to speak with God, the Jewish people said, no, 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 no. We don't interpret it that way. Moses went down and took the people to meet with the word of God. So the word of God was a phrase that they understood because they used it in their interpretations and their translations even of scripture. And then the last aspect of this word is reason. They believe that word had to do with reason. As I stated to earlier, the thoughts of the mind and the heart, all of a sudden they come together and they form these words. This is what linked them to the understanding that the Greek people had. Because the Greek people also believed in word in terms of reason, thinking, and things of that nature. And they said even this, they had a famous philosopher that said, everything is changing. It's in a state of changing. That's what he said. Everything is in a state of change. But here's the interesting thing. As things change, they don't change just randomly. There is someone that is directing this change. And this someone or something that's directing this change is the word. And that's what they believed, was the word. The word reasoning was directing this change. So what did John, what is all this talk about word? What's the point of it? The point of it is this. John said, you are up here trying to define what word is and trying to say what word is. And you done hit on some things, what word is. But let me tell you who's truly the word. Let me tell you who personifies all the thoughts that you were just talking about. It's Jesus. He is the one that has power. The power to create. Amen. The power where it comes forth and it comes out and it says, be. As he said in Genesis, where he said, I'm going to make a tree. And he did that. He made that tree, as the Sunday school lesson said, out of nothing. Boom. Creative word. If you are talking about who's the word and you're looking for the word, here's the word right here. It's in Jesus, Jesus Christ. He is the reasoning. He's the one that gives the ability to think right and wrong. He's the one that creates. He is the one that gives you even existence. Then he goes on and he says, too, and the word was with God and the word was God. What does this mean? The word was with God, and the word was God. Well, what this tells us is this, is that not only was he with God, but he was also God. Y'all get that? Let me say it another way. He had a close and intimate relationship with God, but he was also distinct from God. Not in nature. They had the same essence and nature and things of that nature, but yet they were distinct. Here is the first call, the first clue telling you that God is three in one. It's hinting towards the fact that it is three in one. He goes on next to say that Jesus is life. 35 times in this book of John, the word life occurs. And then live or have life occurs 15 times or so in this same book. And this points to life in regards to everlasting life, eternal life, not just this physical life, but new life, no pun intended, right? And it doesn't only talk about the quantity of life, but also the quality of life. You know, I'm a big Twilight Zone fan. And when I was studying this, the thing I thought about was this episode where I think it was titled Time Enough. And basically what it was is this guy, he couldn't stand people. And he had these real thick glasses. And he just couldn't stand people. People were just a bother to him. And all he really wanted to do is just read. That's all he wanted to do. If you put him in a library, oh my goodness, he was so happy. And then all of a sudden, something happened. Boom, everybody disappeared. He was the only guy left. Oh, he was so happy. He was so happy. He said, yes, I can read all day. I have time enough. Yes, yes. And all of a sudden, he was up there so happy, and he was organizing what he was going to read throughout the days, the months, and the years, and he was happy. And then all of a sudden, he tripped in one moment, and he broke his glasses. He broke his glasses. There was no one around to fix his glasses, and he was practically blind. So it wasn't about the quantity of life. It was also about the quality of life. See, most people think they are really living without Jesus. And you don't know what living is if you're not with Christ. Because he states further on in John that I give life, and I'm giving life more abundantly. He says, I am the source of life. If you are thinking you are living life without him, the truth is that you are only existing. You're just existing, but you are not living. Because true living is with him. It's with him. He goes on to say this. He says that Jesus is the light. The word light occurs 21 times or more in this gospel. And what it basically says is this. It points to Genesis. And remember Sunday school when we were talking about creation, and it says that first there was darkness, right? And then all of a sudden he said, let there be light, right? See, light was something that just chased the chaos that was going on away. But light was also something that reveals. Jesus is the light that shines on you and lets you see who you really are. Amen? He shines on you, and he's the spotlight to let you see who you really are. And you know what most people do? They run from that light. And you know what where most deeds are done? They are done in the dark. They are done in the dark because people don't want other folks to see what they are up to or what they are doing. So they try to do it sneakingly. They try to do it privately. They try to do it in the dark. Dark does not necessarily mean just the light bulb, but light as in revealing too. They don't want it out in the open. Amen. But light also points to the fact that you are guided. Right? Because his word is a lamp unto my, right? He can guide you with his word as well. So Jesus was the word, right? He is life and he is light. Just those three. And honestly, we didn't even scratch the surface as to what more these ideals have to offer. But this is what I want to end with here, is that he also brings on and creeps in another theme. And this theme is darkness. He uses this word darkness. He's got that contrast between light and darkness. Darkness, one writer said darkness is hostile to the light. He also says that it also points to ignorance. But he also stated that it points to something that I found that was very interesting. It meant the sphere of where you live or where you're existing. Meaning that some people live in darkness. They live in a state of darkness. They live in a state where they are comfortable and cool with their ignorance and everything else about Jesus. Matter of fact, they don't want you to tell them about Jesus. In fact, they are going to get hostile if you push the thought of Jesus on them. They are going to do something to you physically if you keep talking to them about Jesus. They don't want to hear that. But here's the scary thing about it. God has a way where you must make a decision. Either it's going to be light or it's going to be dark. Some people are saying, I'm just trying to see, you know, if the light is for me. I'm just trying to see how light is on me. And if, you know, by chance I think that this light fits me, then cool. I might be in the light. But if I don't like the light, I might just, you know, back away. And they think that they are just cruising and stepping towards light with that type of mentality. But what the writer says is that actually what you're doing is this. And you're going further and further away from the light. Goes on to say this. Most folks that are in reverse, when they're thinking they are going forward, most folks that are in this type of reverse are in the church. They're in the church. Because each Sunday, you experience what Jesus is. Each Sunday, you get a taste of more and more of what Jesus is about. Even if it's not through the word, then it's through his saints that are displaying the word, the power of the word in their life. And what you are doing is actually this. And the heart is getting harder and harder. And it's hard for Jesus to speak to it. It's hard for the Spirit to speak to it. Because, see, when you are presented with truth, you have to make a decision about the truth. And honestly, here's the decision you make. Either you're going to accept it or you're going to reject it. And if you reject it, it's harder and harder and harder and harder. So in reality, you're not necessarily on this playground where you're thinking it's, you know, I might, you know, it's good to hear a little bit about, you know, Jesus and everything else. The truth is that there is a work that's going on in you. And the enemy is busy. And as soon as that seed is planted, he's taking it up. He's trying to take it up and take it away. And that's the ideal about this darkness he's talking about. It's hostile. It makes a decision, a conscious decision to be against truth. So throughout the Gospel of John, you're going to see how he develops light. You're going to see how he develops life. You're going to see how he develops that he's the Word. You're going to see how he develops this darkness even more, because they rejected him. And it leads all the way up to the cross. But here is the decision that is at hand for each of us now. What will you do with Jesus? What are you going to do with the Word? What are you going to do with the originator of life? What are you going to do with the light that has shined on your heart today? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to accept it, embrace it, be obedient, or are you going to reject it? That's a decision you got to make. And guess what? There is no way that you can't make a decision. Just like I told you before, if you don't make a decision, guess what that is? That's a decision. That's a decision. So what will you do today? Are you going to, like, up the number on the stats of people that are actually attending church, but really are on their way to hell? Or are you going to be like those folks that were out on the sidewalk and just reject him altogether and say, skip it, I ain't even got to go to church either. I don't want to know nothing about him. What will you do? What will you do? It's decision time. Here's what I beg you to do. Try Christ. Try Christ. Try Christ. Don't let another moment pass you by. You just heard just a taste of what he has to offer you today. He is what makes sense of life. If you're going through trials and tribulations and things of that nature, he is the one that makes sense of it all. If you are one that, where things are so messed up and confused and hopeless, he is your hope. He's our hope. He is our anchor. He offers you this: come unto me and I will give you rest. Make that decision today. Don't let another moment pass you by. So after communion, we will have folks up here available for you to talk to. And they can walk you through this thing, and this thing meaning how to establish a relationship with Christ. Choose ye this day to establish a relationship of obedience to Christ, letting him be your Lord and your King. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlcc.org. nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at nlccpontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.